Hello, buddies. Welcome back to the 15 Minutes with Frank podcast. This is Frank. I want to adjust something on the table, and it's going to be really loud. Ready? All right, it's adjusted. And we are back this week with another installment of 15 Minutes with Frank, and I am Frank. I'm so glad you're here. This is the podcast where for at least 15 minutes we talk about student ministry, and my name is Frank, and I am a student pastor, and I am glad that you're listening to this very unprofessional podcast. Hey, it was a great week this week. We talked about sin in our student ministry, and that was just a week after talking about transgender and abortion issues. So, you know, going two for two, just back to back, like Drake. But in all sincerity, it was a great week and great small group time and good discussion, and it was a great service. So we're going to talk about what I did last night, but I also want you to stay tuned because I'm going to give you guys, at the end of this episode, the three things that we talked about in my leader meeting about what are three tangible wins, or what would be a win in a student ministry for the average volunteer. All right. So like if a volunteer comes to your youth night, what can they say is they did their job, right? And I got this idea from Justin Knowles. I don't know if I got it from his podcast or if he was talking to me. I remember I texted him. I said, "Hey Justin, what were the three things you mentioned? I don't remember where it was from." And then he told me, and I told him that I don't remember where it was from, but the idea of telling your volunteers that there's a tangible win for every night you come to your youth group came from him. And I'm going to tell you how I took that idea and made it my own. And I'm going to tell you what it is. So stick around. It's going to be great. But if you haven't done so already, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, all those fun places. Get on the newsletter. If you haven't done so, if you haven't subscribed to my newsletter, sorry, touched something. If you haven't subscribed to the newsletter, there's a free ebook about preaching that is very good because I wrote it, and why would I write stuff I don't like? So make sure you get that because it's a good time. And also, if you have any time, go to downloadyouthministry.com and check out all my stuff that I have in there. I have a new sermon series that just came out called Made for More. I got games in there. I got sermon series. It's a lot of good stuff in there. I got a dating series called Waiting, Dating, and Mating that is apparently a big hit because I get lots of messages in my emails and on Facebook, people telling me, "Hey, I'm using your dating series and I have a question." So it's popular, but also unclear. No, it's not unclear. People have questions in terms of like some nuances about my message, about how I discuss something or how something went over in their youth ministry, and oftentimes they just want to tell me cool stories about how they used my series in their youth group and how it went well. And it's always super encouraging to hear people using my stuff and it going well. And so if you are listening to this podcast and you've purchased something of mine and you used it in your student ministry and it went well, I want you to do two things. I want you to tell me about it because that gives me all the good feelings to make it through the day. And then the second thing I want you to do is go to DYM and rate it and give that mug 5 stars. Don't give it 4. Give it 5 stars. And then write something beautiful like, "Man, not only did this product, you know, save all my kids, but it also helped me have a fuller beard." Like, just write that stuff. Even if it's not true, because like when it comes to ministry stuff, you're not really lying because it's for the kingdom, right? So that's all sarcasm if you didn't understand. But I would like you to rate and review my stuff positively. If you didn't like my stuff, I want you to tell me what you didn't like about it. And then never go back on Download Youth Ministry and buy any of my stuff again because I'm afraid that you're going to rate something negatively. And my self-esteem can't deal with that. All right? So with that being said, let's dive into this wild podcast. I don't know what's into me. I made my own quinoa stuffed peppers today, and I'm just in a weird place, weird state of mind, and quinoa is weird. All right, this is what we did last night. So we had our leader meeting, and like I said, at the end of the podcast, I'll tell you some of the stuff we talked about in our leader meeting. Again, DYM University has been killing. I have a leader I have another leader that's almost about to graduate, or one that's graduating, and people are learning a lot of stuff. DYM University is a great, again, DYM, you're not sponsoring me. What are you doing? But yeah, DYM University is wonderful. So then we had the countdown video, and then we used this, again, bad joke of the day. It's a product in the Donald Youth Ministry store. There's like, I think a dozen videos in that thing, maybe less. I don't know, maybe I'm over exaggerating. But there's like a bunch of videos, which are just like 45 second videos of a really bad joke. It's killing. Like, it's like kids love it. Like, they're like looking forward to each week. What's the bad joke of the day? Oh, that wasn't so bad. Like, literally, I'm hearing kids audibly say, that wasn't so bad. And Mickey Mouse is in my youth group. So, like, it's just really funny hearing them talk about the video when, like, the jokes are fairly bad. But it's really good. I think what, like, the joke this week was, I could be wrong. I think the joke was, what did the cookie say to his therapist? I'm having a crummy day. Okay, that's kind of funny. It wasn't that bad. It was pretty silly. Anyways, so the bad joke of the day thing was there, and then we did our announcements. And again, the way we've been doing announcements is we have a different leader every week come up. And so what I do is I come up with a leader. Like right before I come up with a leader, I Google fun would you rather questions. And I try to find three good would you rather questions that are both clean and funny, which is actually a surprisingly difficult task on the internet. And I go up front and I say, I introduce the person. This week it was a girl named Brittany. And I said, Brittany, you know, let's do some would you rather questions. And one was like, I mean, it got dark. Like the last question was, would you rather know when you're going to die or how you're going to die? Yeah, it got dark, dude. It got really, really dark. Or do that, because women listen to this podcast too. But it was dark, but it was funny because it was just silly. It was just silliness. And so kids got to see a new leader, and then they just say the announcements, whatever the announcements are, which we have like the senior thing coming up, and then Big Winter Weekend in February, all that good stuff. And then we transitioned to the games, and we played a game called Two Truths and a Lie. So you know Two Truths and a Lie. It's the game where you have to come up with two truths about yourself and then a lie about yourself, and everyone has to guess what that is. Our kids started making jokes like, I love the sarcasm. Sometimes, you don't want to encourage it, but sometimes the sarcasm of your kids can't help but make you laugh. And so one kid's like, oh, we're going to play Two Truths and a Sin. And I yelled in the back, yeah, because you watch Pretty Little Sinners. And then that kid stopped talking the rest of the night. But we were playing Two Truths and a Lie. And the way we did is this, is I polled all my volunteer leaders ahead of time. And I said, hey, give me two truths and a lie and tell me what the lie is. So they told me all the two truths and a lie ahead of time. Then I went on the trivia app in the DYM Games app and I punched them all in. Someone played this game, by the way. I don't know who said it. I got the idea because I was in the DYM Facebook group. I think I was in the DYM Facebook group. And someone mentioned that they did it and they did this game. And so that's where I got the idea. But like, this is how I take ideas from other people. I see a glimpse of it from someone else and I don't read anything else. I'm like, okay, got the idea. Don't want to read how you did it. So that way I can do it myself and get all the credit for it. No, I'm just kidding. But someone else said this in the DYM Facebook group. They played Two Truths and a Lie. I think it was other volunteer leaders. And they used the DYM Games app, the trivia thing of the DYM Games app to do it. And so I installed all the question, like all the leader names, and I put each the two truths and a lie, and I randomly arranged which lie would be followed to. Because when my leaders texted me the answers, they always made their lie the third one, which isn't obvious, right? So I changed it around so I way it's different for each one. And then DYM Games app, the trivia game, has this feature where you can write a caption at the end. So to explain it, like, so if it's me, right, my lie is I can burp the alphabet. That was my lie. I can't fake burp. I'm not that kind of guy. And so the student would be able to, so they have the three options. They choose the right option or the wrong option. You see what the correct answer is. And then after that, there's another button the person can press. It'll show a caption, like defining what the answer was, or it could be a joke. And so like that one was like, burping is gross, right? Like that would be my caption. So the DYM Games, that's a feature that's newer that I've never seen before. I think I saw it when I was in California and I was like, oh, I never used that. So if it was there before, I never noticed it before. And it just made it a little funnier. Like, I added, like, small little snide comments after every answer. And so what we did is I did that for every single leader. And it was another example of way our kids can get to know all the leaders, especially the leaders who aren't their small group leader or a leader of the opposite gender that they don't necessarily interact with. And you learn some cool stuff about our leaders who, like, their truths are usually pretty audacious to sound like lies, but they're actual truths, and you get to know our leaders. So it's great when you have a lot of leaders and there's a lot of, like, students who don't necessarily interact with a lot of other leaders, and or you have a lot of new leaders. That's a fun game. And obviously you don't need the DYM Games app, but it's a fun tool. But you can easily just make this into a PowerPoint or your Media Shout, or, you know, you make a Photoshop files out of it, or even just have, or just use no media and just have a leader come up and say the two truths and a lie. Coach your leaders to not put the lie at the third one every time, and have your students guess. What we did is we pulled the leader up, have them read their two truths and a lie, and then they had the student who was in their small group, one of them, try to guess it. And so it was super fun, and it was cool going through the whole list. So, again, we're trying to only do one game a week now. We used to try to do two. Now we're trying to do one because we want to, you know, be on time. Then we transitioned to worship, and we sung three songs. Build My Life, which was the new one for us. I wonder who sings that, Build My Life. Let me see. It's by... I'll tell you right now. It's by Brett Yonker. It's a Bethel Music. All right. Bethel Music song, Build My Life. Good Father, Blessed Be Your Name. Dude, Blessed Be Your Name. It's 1,000 years old, but our kids like it. And then we transitioned into our message. And so I talked about sin. So I'm in a series called Foundations. And so, we, like, just to, not like, I feel like I'm like about to talk to my students. To recap, we started off with, I'm literally following somewhat closely the outline of how the chapters are in the book Doctrines by Mark Driscoll, because I feel like that book is a really good practical layman systematic theology book. But I'm not necessarily using their content. In fact, like, I'm just using the outline so far. I've rarely used the content or the stuff you used in that book except as a reference to what I'm writing. Does that make sense? And so so the first week we talked about who is God, like the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who is God, and like his, like what, it basically explained the Trinity, one God in three persons, right? Then the next week we talked about the Bible, and we talked about how it's God's desire to communicate to us, and it was a little apologetic-y, like we talked about how we can believe that the Bible is true, and how it is the Word of God. And then the following week we talked about creation, and so we were in Genesis 1, yeah, that's right. We were in Genesis 1, and we talked about creation. We talked about some of the different views, but it was a little bit, again, another little bit apologetic-y, defending against evolution and stuff like that. But like, just the importance of God creating everything. And then the following week after that, we talked about being image bearers. And so we talked about race and abortion and gender. And so, obviously, it was like a conversation specifically dealing with transgender issues, but mainly, it was more on the side of, looking back, really, my sermon was more about, like the value of who you are. Like, you are created perfectly in His image. And so, like, to try to change that is in many ways an assault on, it's saying that God lied when He made you, you know? And so, I understand transgender issues, LGBT issues in general, is a somewhat divisive issue. And there's so much nuance in this conversation. And I don't want anybody who's listening to this to be like turned off by what I'm saying. I would gladly love to talk to anybody because this is such a nuanced issue. And understand that I have students in my ministry currently who are in the LGBT community who continue to come to my ministry. Even though I espouse certain views that the LGBT community may find offensive, but I call them biblical. But these are such nuanced conversations that I don't want to just talk about on a podcast and be kind of blindsided about this. But I'm also not ashamed to kind of put my cards out there. But with that being said, this week we specifically talked about sin, and I feel like that goes well in the order. Creation, image bearers, sin, and that kind of goes with the flow of Genesis 1 through 3. We talked about how sin came into the world. So we talked about Adam and Eve. I basically preached from Genesis 3, and I made a bunch of jokes about, you know, the snake talking and things like that, and then how Adam palmed off the blame to his wife, and the wife palmed off his blame to the snake, and God, you know, like his feelings about sin. And I used the Bible Project, which is, I'll plug it into my show notes, has a great overview of the first half, well, Genesis 1 through 11, an overview of like the narrative of Genesis 1 through 11 and how like God created everything, sin came into the world, and it was just a downward spiral even through the flood and even through the Tower of Babel and all that stuff. And so we have that kind of on the building blocks behind us, and then I just kind of talked about the seriousness of sin and how we know that's real. And then I also talked about with my good buddy with some help from the DYM group, and the youth men group, I think. No, it was just the DYM group. I put out there I need some help. I was having some roadblocks in terms of what to talk about, and a buddy named Jonathan. I'll plug his social media in here. He gave me some tips and some notes from when he preached a sermon about sin. And so I was able to kind of talk about like four excuses that we come up with, basically four sinful ways to deal with our sin. And that apparently was a big deal because like that was in small group. One of the things I talked about the most is our sinful responses of deceiving ourselves to believe that sin is okay. So anyways, I know I've talked a lot about my message. I don't typically go in that much detail about my message because probably one day I want to sell these messages, and so I don't want to give it all in here. But I worked really hard on all my sermons, I think, but like I worked really hard on this one because I think grasping and understanding the depth of our sinfulness only exalts the grace of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And so I worked really hard on really trying to get our kids to wrap their minds around the sinfulness of sin, the deceitfulness of sin, how bad their state is without Christ, so that next week, which is what we're really doing next week, is talking about who Jesus is and what he's done for us. So, it's cool. It's been a really good opportunity to go through this and talk about this. Sent kids off to small group. Small group went well, and then we dismissed the kids. So yeah. So in our leader meeting, I wanted to talk to our leaders about what is a tangible way they know they did their job, and I got this idea from Justin Knowles when I met with him. I think it is when I met with him. It could be. I don't know. I don't remember exactly when we had this conversation, but I remember talking to him, and he gave me like, these are the three things every leader will know if they did their job, like if they did a good job, or this is how they know they can win in the night. And I love this idea of giving tangible, real kind of metrics that they can even personally put in their own mind of what it looks like to that they did a good job. And so he said that they want to that like a good leader will connect with a new face, connect a kid to Jesus, and connect them to a small group. And so basically, two of those I agree with. I completely. The third thing though is connecting with a small group is kind of a hard thing because all my kids, if you come to a Sunday night, you're going to be in a small group. It's 100% retention rate, right? So I wanted to kind of play with that. So I really thought about, like, what does our youth group look like? And what would be three categorical wins? So this is what I wrote down. And I want to give you what I wrote down, what I told my leaders. And then I'm going to tell you what kind of, like, how to define each one. So I said that there's a header as this. I did my job tonight if I had. You know what? I'll copy and paste this as a document and put it in my show notes. You can just kind of download this. But I did my job tonight if I have, and this is the answer, connected with a new face, connected a student towards Jesus, and connected a student to serving. And so those are the three things. If a leader on a given Sunday night does those three things, they knocked it out of the park. Like, they can go to bed sleeping well that they did their job. And I think having those clear kind of like solutions is good. And we're hopefully going to have those three things in our leader lounge area where they drop off their coats and their purse and grab a snack right before youth group. And that area is where they're going to be able to like see the sign that says, you know, those are remind themselves of those three things. And so let me explain this one. Connected with a new face means this. So obviously we have a lot of new students that come in every single week. And the biggest issue is retention in our context. I think that's a big issue in a lot of churches. And so follow-up is important. But I think more than just that, just having someone even go to that new kid and say, hey, my name is Max. What's your name? Is huge. And I think sometimes, and I said this to our leaders, I think an issue we have in our context is we always assume someone else is going to greet the new kid. Like someone will say, oh, Sarah will do it. Or, no, John will do it. Like, they always pass it on to someone else thinking, like, I'm going to talk to my kids I know well. Someone else will talk to them. And that's not, like, their fault. I think there's just so many leaders that they just assume someone else is going to do it. And so I encourage my leaders. I said, I'd rather have a new kid feel six new leaders approach them than the risk of having no one approach them. And so if there's a new kid, that's what it, like a literal new kid. But connecting with a new face can also mean a student that they personally haven't connected with before or in a while. So like there's that kid who like is always serving, who's always like in the front, always doing a bunch of stuff. And they're always like the youth group kid that you can always kind of will be there. But sometimes those kids that you always assume are going to be there sometimes get no connection with the leaders because they're focusing on the other kids who aren't as plugged into the student ministry. So that kid who's always there and doesn't really have a leader that plugs with them every single week. They're just always there serving and often opening their Bibles and doing that kind of stuff. And so I said, like, think about the kids in your small group who you see every week that you don't necessarily connect with every single week. Go to that kid and say what's up to them and talk to them and connect with them. And then another example of this is a student who isn't in your small group. So oftentimes like the middle school boy leader will connect with the middle school boys, right? And so I would tell that leader, say, okay, connect with another student. If there are no new students, right? Or there's no new students in your small group that you haven't talked to in a while, find a high school guy that maybe you haven't talked to in a while. Or talk to ever and like connect with them. Because as a leader in a youth group, you have every right to talk to any kid in the youth group. And then later, like when we go to camp or a missions trip or a big event, if there's a situation where you need to speak to that kid, you're not just some random new face. Like you are just as much of a leader in the ministry as any other leader. And so you have authority to speak with, right? And so those are the three things. Then the next one is connected a student towards Jesus. And so I kind of explained that in four different ways. One is asking them intentional questions about their relationship with Jesus. And so like I have a leader who said this. She said, if a student isn't opening their Bible at church, they're probably not opening their Bible at home. And her point is well taken. Like, if I'm always putting the Bible verses on the screen and not actually encouraging a kid to open their Bible at church, the odds of them actually opening a Bible at home or any other place is probably going to narrow, right? And we can say maybe they're using their phone app. Well, that'd be great, but like we should make them sure they're at least doing it at church, and then hope and pray that they're doing it at home. Well, the same thing is, if no one is asking them intentional questions about their walks with Jesus at church, the odds of someone asking them that question outside of church is very, very slim, right? And so I said, don't be ashamed or afraid to ask them, like, hey, how's your walk with Jesus going? Like, how are your quiet times? How's your prayer life? Like, what have you been praying about? Like, what are you reading in the Bible? And don't be afraid. I mean, we make it awkward because we just don't do it, right? And so encouraging our leaders to take that risk, which it shouldn't be a risk, it should be normative in our student ministry, and push our leaders to ask our kids, hey, what are you doing in your quiet time? Or how's your walk with Jesus going? And then another example that this could look like is also, and this could be done in the context of small group, is helping students have more Christ-like behavior attitude. So if a parent, if a student is complaining about their parent, giving them harsh rules or whatever, just talking bad about their parent, like a good, an easy way to flip that conversation that could fix this is saying, like you as a leader, think to yourself, what would a Christ-like behavior or a God-honoring behavior look like if you were the student in that context, knowing what you know as an adult, and then sharing that truth to the student. So if a parent is like, if a parent is having trust issues with a student, then telling that student, how can you gain your trust? As opposed to just complaining and cursing your parent out, right? Like how can you fill the trust jar up so that way your parents can trust you? Flipping the questions that help students have more Christ-like behavior and attitude in their life, right? And then the last one is a clear one, leading students to Jesus. Like if you see gospel opportunities to point kids towards Jesus and towards a saving relationship with Christ, then do it, right? Like get there and have those opportunities. And that only works when you actually know your kids and know the students you're with and knowing where they are in their walk with Jesus. So that's I think that's a really, really easy one because I think it's the most obvious one of connecting them towards Jesus. And the third thing is connecting, I did my job tonight. If I have connected a student to servant. And so this is the big thing that we're really trying to push this year is getting kids to serve. And so this is defined a few ways. The first one is a regular servant position. So in our context, that's like worship or the tech team. And those are places where students can actively serve right now. We could also have a student like once a month bring snacks to the student ministry for snack time or plug them in to help check-in students or whatever. But another way they could do it is just like a one-off. Like if there is a new student that they see that's in their same grade, say, hey, Mary, can you for today help that student feel welcome all today, right? Like that's a tangible one-off example of how a student can serve right there, right then. Or hey, like something happened, like there's chips all over the floor and there's like crumbs. If I give you a vacuum, can you vacuum that up real quick before youth group starts? Like those type of things are like a quick, like you can serve right now if you can do this for me, right? And then another example that we have is having students serve outside of the ministry. So we have a children's ministry, we have a connections ministry, you know, like in our church proper, and like getting our students connected with those ministries is an example of connecting a student towards serving. So connect with a new face, connect the student towards Jesus, and connect the student to serve. I'm going to put all this in the website, and you'll be able to look at it. And I encourage you, if you have a leader meeting, first off, I would encourage everyone to get their leaders to get to the church earlier, like 30 minutes earlier, and have a brief huddle before student ministry starts, right? If you can't do that and you have like quarterly meetings or monthly meetings or whatever you do, implement an understanding of what does it look like to win the night. What does a night look like that you feel good that if your volunteer does these three things or these four things or these two things, whatever, then they did their job. And for you, that might just be, hey, connect a student closer to Jesus. And that is a great, great benchmark, you know? But for us, in our context, we wanted to give them three benchmarks. Because Baptists love threes, and I'm not even Baptist. It's just the thing that, I don't know where I'm going with this. I was talking to someone about a very Baptistic message is 3 points. And I think 3 points are beautiful, and they are great to understand. And so I got 3 points. You could have 2 or 5 or 1,000. Maybe not 1,000. That's too much. But something that's memorable so leaders can remember, if I do these things, I won tonight. Like, this was a win. This was a good thing. Like, this is mission accomplished. And then next week, I only did 2 of the 3. Well, hey, next week you can try to do all 3, right? And this is good. So check that out. It's going to be on the website, frankgill.me, as well as with everything else. Again, if you're not my friend on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat, hey, if you're on Snapchat and you follow me, that's creepy. But we'll do it. I don't care, man. Let's send dog emoji filters to each other. I won't do that, but that sounds like an ideal world, right? Pastor Tank, Pastor_Tank on all my social media. You can find it on my website, frankgill.me. But it's been fun. I know this has been more than 15 minutes, but remember, the slogan of this website is it's 15 minutes with Frank is where you get at least 15 minutes of student ministry. So hey, I set the bar low so I can always overshoot it. All right. Hey, until next week.